completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavata Purana propounds the highest truth which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Continuing the purport, nothing is apart from the substance, but at the same time the energies are different from the substance. This conception is not contradictory. Srimad Bhagavatam explicitly promulgates this simultaneously one and different philosophy of the Vedanta Sutra, which begins with the Janmadhyasya Sutra. This knowledge that the energy of the Lord is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord is an answer to the mental speculator's attempt to establish the energy as the absolute. When this knowledge is factually understood, one sees the conception of monism and dualism to be imperfect. The conceptions of monism and dualism to be imperfect. There's an example of the kind of little change that can make a lot of difference. The conception of monism and dualism and the conceptions of monism and dualism. The letter S can make a completely different philosophy. Even a comma can make a big difference. Development of this transcendental consciousness grounded in the conception of simultaneously one and different leads one immediately to the stage of freedom from the threefold miseries. The threefold miseries are, one, those miseries which arise from the mind and body, two, those miseries inflicted by other living beings, and three, those miseries arising from natural catastrophes over which one has no control. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the surrender of the devotee unto this absolute person. The devotee is fully aware that he is one with the Absolute and at the same time in the eternal position of servant to the Absolute. In the material conception, one falsely thinks himself the Lord of all he surveys, and therefore he is always troubled by the threefold miseries of life. But as soon as one comes to know his real position as transcendental servant, he at once becomes free from all miseries. As long as the living entity is trying to master material nature, there is no possibility of his becoming servant of the Supreme. Service to the Lord is rendered in pure consciousness of one's spiritual identity. By service, one is immediately freed from material encumbrances. Over and above this, Srimad Bhagavatam is a personal commentation on the Vedanta Sutra by Sri Vyasadeva. It was written in the maturity of his spiritual life through the mercy of Narada. Sri Vyasadeva is the authorized incarnation of Narayana, the personality of Godhead. Therefore, there is no question as to his authority. He is the author of all other Vedic literatures, yet he recommends the study of Srimad Bhagavatam above all others. In other Puranas, there are different methods set forth by which one can worship the demigods. But in the Bhagavatam, only the Supreme Lord is mentioned. The Supreme Lord is the total body, and the demigods are the different parts of that body. Consequently, by worshipping the Supreme Lord, one does not need to worship the demigods. The Supreme Lord becomes fixed in the heart of the devotee immediately. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended the Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Purana and distinguishes it from all other Puranas. The proper method for receiving this transcendental message is to hear it submissively. A challenging attitude cannot help one realize the transcendental message. One particular word is used herein for proper guidance. This word is susrushu. One must be anxious to hear this transcendental message. The desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. Less fortunate persons are not at all interested in hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam. The process is simple, but the application is difficult. Unfortunate people find enough time to hear idle social and political conversations. But when invited to attend a meeting of devotees to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they suddenly become reluctant, or they indulge in hearing the portion of the Bhagavatam they are unfit to hear. Sometimes professional readers of the Bhagavatam immediately plunge into the confidential topics of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, which they seemingly interpret as sex literature. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be heard from the beginning. Those who are fit to assimilate this work are mentioned in this shloka. One becomes qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam after many pious deeds. The intelligent person with thoughtful discretion can be assured by the great sage Vyasadeva that he can realize the Supreme Personality directly by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, without undergoing the different stages of realization set forth in the Vedas. One can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahamsa simply by agreeing to receive this message. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtham Manamapi Shakti Putra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Gajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shigurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shiguro Shiatav Parakamalam Shigurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagraja Tam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savad Hutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Excuse me. Now is not the time for questions. There'll be a discourse. Questions can come afterwards.
Okay, but what do you guys believe in?
Yeah, please sit and listen. Now we're having a formal lecture now. Or maybe someone wants to speak with this gentleman outside and answer his questions.
Well, yes. I just want to make sure you guys are doing the right thing. You know?
All right, thank you. So, Srimad Bhagavatam completely rejects all materially motivated attempts at dharma. And included in this, we can understand from the purport, is the endeavor for impersonal liberation. Jaha, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, commenting on this verse, says, Taramadde mokhabancha kaitav pradhan jaha hoite Krishna bhakti hoi antardhan. Of all the different kinds of cheating, the desire for liberation is the chief one, or worst, because by that Krishna bhakti is destroyed. Now, Srila Vyasadeva, he compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam in his maturity. Srila Prabhupada states in the purport, it was written in the maturity of his spiritual life through the mercy of Narada. So prior to this, he compiled so much literature which, at least superficially, recommends elevation to the heavenly planets, pious activities for living happily in this world, and activities for getting free from birth and death. So this covers what is mentioned here. Shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Shivadam means that which bestows auspiciousness. So generally in material life, pious people, they're interested in auspiciousness, which for them means to live comfortably and healthy life, and the sons cooperate. There are plenty of sons, and they cooperate with the parents, and everyone lives peacefully and happily, being good. Be good, be nice. This is shubh, is the usual word used. And we'll find in North India, outside the business establishments, the shops and the offices, there will be swastikas painted. Swastika in the West, you usually think of a Nazi symbol, but they're reverse swastikas, and the original swastika is an auspicious symbol, and reversed it becomes inauspicious, as Hitler used it. It's a powerful symbol. So there'll be the swastika, and there will be written shubh labh, which means auspiciousness and monetary gain. These are the interests of the Vaishya class in particular. So auspiciousness and freedom from the threefold miseries. So those are the subjects of the Vedas prior to Srimad Bhagavatam. And herein it is stated that all auspiciousness plus freedom from the threefold miseries will come from Srimad Bhagavatam. So you don't need all of the rest of that stuff. You can get it all from Srimad Bhagavatam. Even if you want material auspiciousness, you can get it by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very common, that people assemble to hear the so-called Bhagavat Saptaha of spoken by professional reciters, and people come not for the sake of love of Krishna. Well, there may be affection for Krishna also and inclination toward Krishna, but not for the motive that Srila Vyasadeva is promoting herein of pure devotion to Krishna, but for some material motivation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected all of this. Nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktira haituki twai. He rejected material auspiciousness, the fruits of which are getting money, being surrounded by followers, friends, family members who are all our friends, yeah, like this. And even being a very great intellectual, beautiful women, Striyaishvarya Prajep Sava, elsewhere in Bhagavatam, that's stated. The materialistic people, they like to be surrounded by beautiful women, lots of money, and relatives, many relatives. And even if a man is older and he cannot personally enjoy his or indulge in his sexual proclivity, he likes to see his sons and grandsons with beautiful women, nicely dressed, with their wives, and nicely dressed in expensive saris and jewelry and all this. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejects all this. But actual Shivadam, actual auspiciousness, comes from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is that it bestows love of Krishna. So that's the actual auspiciousness. That's the actual benefit for the living being. But that has to be properly understood. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the best expounder of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada included, He already took up the massive task of translating with extensive commentary the whole of the Bhagavatam. But before he started that, as an introduction, he gave a summary of the pastimes and teachings of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, including within that a large section of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's defeat of Mayavad, to establish that Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood through Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the Vedas, they are ultimately meant for understanding Krishna. But the problem is that in none of them they explicitly make that point. Only in Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, in Gita, Krishna says, Vedaischa sarvairahameva vedyaha. I am the object of knowledge in the Veda, which means knowledge in the Vedas, in all the Vedas. But only in the Srimad Bhagavatam does it consistently, from beginning to end, establish Krishna and Krishna Bhakti as the actual goal of life. In other Puranas and other parts of the Shastra, there are such statements. But then you're, just like there are many quotes from in our Gaudiya literature from Padma Purana. And one of the most important is from Brihannaradiya Purana, such as, which one am I thinking of? Harana, wow. Very different. We know it. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevalam, Kalau Nasceva, 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 Katiram Yata. Yeah, well, should be. Yeah. But in no Shastra except Srimad Bhagavatam is this, from beginning to end, is it clearly and unequivocally described that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we all have to surrender to Him, and that is the goal of life. Although the Mayavadis, they're most expert in twisting and convoluting and leaving out what they want to leave out, and they're expert in destroying everything. Just like this Shankaracharya, he states that the most important qualification is bhakti. But then he describes bhakti as the desire for impersonal liberation. So, yeah. So in this way, we have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the Vaishnava Acharyas, particularly from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has made it clear, Shivadam, the actual auspiciousness, is to love Krishna, following in the footsteps of the great devotees explained herein, and particularly the gopis of Vrindavan, that as the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, specifically describes the understanding of simultaneously one and different philosophy. Achintya bheda bheda tattva. Now, Srila Prabhupada states here that Srimad Bhagavatam explicitly promulgates this simultaneously one and different philosophy of the Vedanta Sutra, which begins with the Janmadyasya Sutra. So, others may not find that. Not everyone finds in Srimad Bhagavatam what Srila Prabhupada states here to be explicitly promulgated within Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference, in which, as Srila Prabhupada writes here, let's see if I can find that, that the the devotee knows himself to be one with the Absolute. He is fully aware that he is one with the Absolute. So if we took that statement out of context, we'd be in trouble. The devotee is fully aware that he is one with the Absolute. There you go, Prabhupada said it. Prabhupada said, but you have to read the rest of the sentence also. And, no, I lost it. It's one with the Absolute. The devotee is fully aware that he is one with the Absolute and at the same time in the eternal position of servant to the Absolute. So what does that mean? That means that I'm fully aware that I am a servant of myself. That's what it appears to be, isn't it? If the casual reader may read it like that, or the inexperienced reader. So therefore it's also important to understand Srimad Bhagavatam through the devotees. We're reading the books of Srila Prabhupada, but one has to understand them through the devotees who are in the parampara coming from Srila Prabhupada. That is the system. Otherwise, if we study even the highest truth, which is meant for distinguishing reality from illusion for the welfare of all, if we hear this message from someone who has an agenda other than the welfare of all, or someone who is not Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aika Arna Kori Homane Asha in relation to Srila Prabhupada, someone who has not taken the words of Srila Prabhupada as his life and soul without admitting anything else. If we hear what Srila Prabhupada has presented, we'll get a different understanding. And a prime example of that is that among those who are followers of Srila Prabhupada or claim to be followers of Srila Prabhupada and who base their understanding and what they preach to others on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, there are some who say that Srila Prabhupada is the only guru for the next 10,000 years. And there are others who say that's not true. And they both claim to claim that what they say is the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. And generally, those who come to Krishna consciousness, they tend to accept the understanding of Krishna consciousness that is given to them by those who introduce them to Krishna consciousness. So that it's not so very surprising that there are many Ritvikvadis in the Bangalore area, which is the capital city, or has become the capital city of Ritvikism. Because there's a big temple there which attracts many people, and it is being preached from there. Whereas if you go somewhere else where it's not being preached, then you don't find it. And in fact, if you read Prabhupada's books all the way through from beginning to end, you'd never ever get the idea of Ritvikism, because there's nothing like that in there whatsoever. But well, that's just an example. And there are many different points. I just read in Back to Godhead magazine, someone had written that Srila Prabhupada understood the position in the modern world, and therefore he understood that women should be in public office all while keeping ties to their family and in this way remaining chaste, with no quotes from Srila Prabhupada. But I didn't get that from reading Srila Prabhupada's statements, and it appeared to me to be a statement that was made by the author ascribing his own opinions to Srila Prabhupada. So we had to be very careful and scrutinizing. Krishna consciousness is very simple, as Srila Prabhupada writes here. The process is simple, but the application is difficult. So the process is simple to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in parampara, but the application is difficult. The application is difficult means, and Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that people don't like, actually there's nothing difficult about it, but we find it difficult because we don't have that inclination. There aren't many people who are inclined to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in the manner that it's supposed to be heard, for purification. These popular Bhagavad reciters, they get many, many thousands of followers. Some of them, I saw in Vadodara, one city in Gujarat, that one, not Bhagavad speaker, but speaker on Rama Leela. There were a huge pandal with arrangements for more than 100,000 people to sit and hear him. Yeah. India's big, you know. Rathiatra in Baroda means 2 lakhs people, 200,000 people. That's what the police estimate. It increases every year. In your Puri, there are maybe 20 lakhs, is it? Come for Rathiatra. It's only a tiny town and people come from all around. Tiny town means by Indian standards. It's about, what, Puri's what, 2-3 lakh population? Puri town, you don't know. Difficult to say, because there's always a floating population. Anyway, 1 lakh people means there's closed circuit TV, because you can't see from such a long distance. And it's all with microphones like that. So many people come, but they're coming because they know there won't be anything threatening to their material existence. It's just the nice stuff. In fact, I was recently in one place in Europe where I was told that if one sannyasi goes there for a program, there'll be 300 people. And another one who regularly goes, there'll be 20 people. Because one of them speaks in a manner that is more appealing, it seems. And another speaks very straightforward Bhagavad Gita philosophy. And you can imagine which one gets the biggest crowd. No prizes for guessing who of the two. So that can become a dilemma also. I mean, do we make a few tricks, pull a rabbit out of a hat in the middle of the Bhagavatam class and get bigger crowds? Or should we just speak the philosophy straightforward? What I see that Srila Prabhupada, I'm just offering this, thought that Srila Prabhupada would arrange festivals in which there are many attractive features, not gimmicks. Well, sometimes even something like gimmicks. Prabhupada, he married his disciples on stage in Bombay. You know that, right?
Spiritually united nations.
Yeah. He arranged. No one does a marriage on stage in a public program, but Srila Prabhupada did it. To show to the people of Bombay at that time how devotees, the United Nations of the spiritual world, and his dancing white elephants, the Western devotees were attractive to people, how they would dance enthusiastically. So, and often, I'm not sure so much in Prabhupada's public programs, but often we do in India and in other places also, dramas of instructive dramas. But then Srila Prabhupada would give his lecture, and it was always straight, especially in India, it was like very, very, very strong, heavy, and to the point. So this point, hearing, the attitude to hear, and who we hear from. I just read something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in which he said that to find the kind of speaker like Shukadev Goswami is very, very difficult to find, even if we go all over the earth, and even if we're looking for such a person, and we go all over the earth to try to find, even so it's very difficult to find. And I thought that on reading that, by the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, transmitted through Parampara and expanded by Srila Prabhupada, it may not be so difficult now. Those who are faithfully presenting the message as it is and living the message as it is. But a point we can take from Srila Prabhupada's warnings about this, especially in this first canto, he warns several times in his purports about how the speaker has to be like Parikshit. Sorry, the speaker has to be like Shukadeva, and the hearer should have the same willingness to hear as Parikshit, that eagerness to hear. And then the result is it's just like having a potent man with a fertile woman. And when they unite, a child is born. That's the example that Srila Prabhupada gives. So in the same way, if there's a bona fide speaker and a bona fide hearer, then the result will be that Krishna bhakti, which is latent in everyone's heart, that will be awakened by this process. So the application is difficult, means that we have to be quite careful. Those who are coming newly, we can recommend them to study carefully and see where to go, what to do, so that one's spiritual life will actually develop. Where to find that guidance, where one can actually develop, and we can recommend, we means, I guess, myself, Vajranarayan Prabhu, Dravida Prabhu, that I can include you in the we here, Mahatma Prabhu, that on principle, we should want to follow very strictly in the footsteps of those who wish to follow Srila Prabhupada. It seems like an obvious principle. It may seem like that. If it sounds like an obvious principle, then you're already being guided well, I could say. But there may be many who have different ideas and different messages, or who may subtly try to undermine Srila Prabhupada, or grossly try to undermine Srila Prabhupada. But on principle, to follow Srila Prabhupada, who is the Vyasa of the modern world, as one of the reviewers of Srila Prabhupada's books, he said Prabhupada is just like Vyasa. And actually, Srila Prabhupada is, for us, in one sense, even more than Vyas, because Vyas gave so many different literatures, and some of them are misleading, or potentially misleading, by their very presentation. But Srila Prabhupada just gave us the essence of all literature, and in a format that we can absorb this most subtle understanding of one simultaneous oneness and difference of the Absolute and His energies, in which we can absorb it very easily. It's quite amazing that, you see, people come from all kinds of different backgrounds all over the world, mostly from backgrounds which are far removed from the culture and mentality of Parikshit Maharaj. And they take to Krishna consciousness, and then Within a short time, they're able to discourse on and teach others this philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference, which even great sages, and even Vyasadeva himself, in the beginning, it seems, at least superficially, he wasn't expounding that. It's only in the maturity of his spiritual life that he expounded that. So it is a great miracle that Srila Prabhupada is performing, has performed and is performing. He lives forever in his instructions. He lives forever as his books. He lives forever as his devotees, as his followers. He lives forever by his divine instruction, and the follower lives with him. So we could go here, go there, and find this teaching and that teaching, and there are so many teachings. But on principle, if we stick to this principle, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Koriya Aika Arna Koriya Mane Asha, we sing this every day to Srila Prabhupada, that if we take his direction, his instruction, as our life and soul, then we are certain to be on the right path. It may be very difficult to place our trust, but we can place our trust in Srila Prabhupada, that he took the trouble of making this commentary on Bhagavatam, preaching it all over the world, making this Bhagavatam available to others. Why? What was his motive? What did he expect from that? His whole purpose was to present the highest truth as reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. He was doing so for the welfare of others. He had no other motive than that. Even not for his own personal spiritual advancement. He didn't need to do anything, in one sense, for his own personal spiritual advancement. He was already fully spiritually advanced. But as a symptom of his topmost spiritual advancement, he wanted to share that with others. And that he has done in many ways, and particularly in the form of his books. He asks those who have fortunate enough to be benefited by the mercy that he has brought to share that with others. So we can do so by distributing these books, distributing the knowledge in these books, living according to these books. That struck me. One time I was sitting in a class with Srila Prabhupada, and he said, "You should make the Srimad Bhagavatam your life." So that really struck me, and I thought that, yeah, we should read Srimad Bhagavatam, live by it, distribute it. This is making Srimad Bhagavatam our life. Hare Krishna. I can imagine there's going to be some, yeah. Okay, please, comment. From
you were saying, very nice, Maharaj, that the criticism in you, which is fluff out me, so I don't claim my typecast role of devil's advocate.
Okay, great.
You know, you're saying about how, you know, we just speak directly. Mm. Give it to him as it is. A couple of these set it up. The devotees were telling me when they first opened the temple in Rome, packed full of devotees, packed full of guests, two-bedroom apartment packed. Chanting, dancing, okay, reading, they're having a great time, right? Devotees, none of them really spoke Italian. Just rudimentary, you know, one or two words. So they just chanted, danced, and served prasadam, very basic philosophy. The devotee came and spoke Italian, gave the lecture, 90% of the audience got up and left. So what did you say? It was the first time they'd actually heard the foray of Prince. They also mentioned, now that's the extreme example. We had another sannyasi who I will not mention the name, spoke here at UCSB. And just, first off, we were supposed to speak for 20 minutes, went on for an hour, in spite of giving different notes, you have to stop. And just left, right, late, when we turn the lights up, because you put the light down and you turn the lights up. I said, Mom, you know, whatever. His response, completely unfazed, the sincere state. The only five who stayed were two were deaf, one thought was the other way to shot. So in the Bhagavatam, that's the facts. In the Bhagavatam, it says that austerity of speech, truthful, I'm with you. But then it says pleasing, beneficial, truthful, sovereign communication, it says, but not agitating to others. So how do we balance this? One last thing and I'll be done. We were given, when I was a brahmacharya, a verse of the day to speak to. In those days, we chanted and shared the book simultaneously. That's the God of Meditation. Mm-hmm. And this particular day, I dropped everybody off. I parked the car. And as I was walking back, I saw the scene. And the verse was Abhajanti Mam Bhutha. It was in Detroit. And you saw brahmacharis on every corner with some businessman by the tie. And you knew what they were saying to that guy. They were just, Abhajanti Mam Bhutha. So how do we balance truthful with beneficial and pleasing and not agitating others?
Right. Anadvega karangva kyam. What is it? Satyam priya hitam chayat. I discuss this in my latest book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. That it's actually very difficult to speak pleasingly and beneficially speak the truth, because most people don't want to hear the truth. So it's almost paradoxical. So out of the Srila Prabhupada, he specifically addressed that when he quoted Manu that satyam bruyat priyam bruyat ma bruyat satyam apriyam. One should speak the truth. One should speak that which is pleasingly. One should not speak even the truth if it's unpleasing. But Srila Prabhupada, he explained that when we have to speak on transcendental matters, then pleasing or unpleasing, we have to say it.
So this is referring to just general social discourse?
Yes, Srila Prabhupada said that in normal social discourse, that is true.
And
if we're speaking the Bhagavatam, just club them over the head. Well, I mean, there are many instances of Srila Prabhupada speaking in a manner that he didn't just club them over the head, as you say. And there are many instances in which he did club them over the head also. You gave an example of someone who gave a speech and at the end there was hardly anyone left. He said, "The sincere will stay." Well, there's an instance of that in my Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, of one speaker, Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj in Dhaka, who he gave a lecture and so many people were present. And the first lecture he gave, he extolled the glories of Bhagavatam and everyone loved it. And in the next lecture he gave, he just spoke about all the cheating, misrepresentations of Bhagavatam. And many of the people who were doing that were present. And one by one, everyone got up and left, and there was only one person left at the end, but he became one of the stalwarts and one of the main preachers of the Gauriya Math, who is actually a major figure. Maybe you could say in some ways he was the most important disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Although, interesting, Sundarananda Vidya Vinod, but later he rebelled after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left. So I discuss this question in some detail in my book, that and I come to the conclusion that you can never tell what's going to happen. You may speak strongly and people will accept it, or they may not accept it also. Sometimes they cow down and sometimes they spring up with fangs to attack you, or they just go away. It's very difficult to say. Some circumstances call for a special tact. For instance, I wouldn't recommend even doing Harinam in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Riyadh?
Yeah. That's in Saudi Arabia. So even Harinam, what to speak of speaking the message of Bhagavatam directly. So some circumstances call for special tact. In Patna, the capital of Bihar, devotees, they were cultivating the chief minister. This was many years ago, for getting some land. It's a common thing that the state government gives land in a major city at a very low price for the sake of building a temple. So they were cultivating him like that. But then one of our sannyasis came and gave a lecture in the presence of the chief minister, in which he said something, it's a Hindi saying, but it's very insulting, that the rain isn't the chief minister's urine. Obviously the whole point of cultivating him all the time was lost. It's a way of insulting someone who thinks they're very great. And in that Glimpses book, I gave an example from Bengal that someone thinks the sun is shining out of their backside. So in every language, there's all these kind of things. So, some situations call especially for tact. Unless we do present the philosophy straightforward and clearly, no one's ever going to get it. And if we don't say it, we may also forget it ourselves. If we're so concerned that people must like what we say, then we're never going to be able to say what they need to hear. So that is an important point. Discussed at length. I didn't give her that book. Can you get one copy to Badri Narayan?
I'm satisfied with your answer.
Yeah. And
a free book, but
so it is. And many times people think, well, it's very good preaching if people come and they stay and they like it. And it seems to me that more and more in our movement we think that if people like it, that is the symptom of our success. Although, at least in one purport, Srila Prabhupada said that if people don't like it, that is the symptom of our success. That if demons are against us, that's the sign that we're preaching the real thing.
Also gave the measure of proof of your preaching. I heard Prabhupada say that.
Yeah.
So. Well, you gave a nuanced and very satisfying answer.
All right.
And we don't want to be timid. We don't want to water it down.
Yeah, so, and you were going to say something?
Me?
No, Mahatabha. You'll pass it on. Yeah. All right, anything else? Hare Krishna.
I belong to a podcast, a Toastmaster, public speaking.
Toastmaster, public speaking.
Public speaking. So they really speak about very short and sweet, 5 minutes maybe.
Techniques of public speaking.
Right.
I've never been much interested in techniques of public speaking. Srila Prabhupada broke pretty much all the rules. He'd often speak with his eyes closed.
People don't have attention span.
But simply by tricks we can't get people. Simply by technique.
Desh, kal, patra,
that's also a consideration. But that shouldn't be, that's time, place, and circumstance. That's sometimes cited to suggest that we shouldn't speak. I mean, if you take desh, kal, and patra, there's no desh, kal, and patra in the material world. It's extremely rare that people want to hear the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is. So if we always base our speaking on time, place, and circumstance, then we'll never speak the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is. So we can't make that our pradhan, our chief consideration. It is a consideration, but not the chief one. Yeah, you had something.
I'll go receive the merge.
I have a couple of questions.
Yeah, go on.
Well, as far as preaching as it is, we see some leaders in a movement, they they speak a lot of pastimes of Krishna, or maybe more palatable to people, for quite a long time until maybe devotees can become more fixed in Krishna consciousness, then they can maybe gradually give them.
They speak, some devotees speak pastimes until others become more fixed, and then they speak more heavy stuff. But it seems to me around the other way. You're supposed to speak the straightforward stuff. They become fixed, and then they hear the pastimes. Not round the other way. That's what I get from reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Not round the other way. Yeah, okay, one question more, and then we'll finish.
My question was similar to Baladev's. It was, so, is it not wrong to give them the philosophy they can handle, but then gradually bring them...
Yeah. That's also there. You can give them what they can handle. But actually, you always have to give them more than they can handle, because otherwise they don't make any progress. You have to ratchet it up bit by bit. Yeah, you have to. And many times you see people are all nice and friendly, but then they can be nice and friendly, but it's somewhat superficial, because when you speak what they need to hear, then they're not prepared to, or they just go away. That we also find. So there's no one set formula. You have, just like yesterday, we were discussing about what's the formula for making book changes, or editing. Sorry, maybe book changes is an inflammatory term, but editing. Just when you were out there, I misread something. The conception of monism and dualism. And then I looked back and said, it's conceptions. And that the difference that S makes, it could be, you know, completely... It conflates the two and makes it one philosophy instead of two philosophies. I'll read the whole sentence. When this knowledge is factually understood, one sees the conceptions of monism and dualism to be imperfect. But I read conception, and I went back and corrected myself. That letter S makes a lot of difference, huge difference. Actually, the first time I sent you a suggested change was in punctuation. There was some verse about one shouldn't use oil on Dwadashi, and I looked at the Sanskrit and I saw, actually, you need to, I can't remember, add a comma or two. Leave it out, it makes a complete difference. So, can make a lot of difference. It's a razor's edge. Yeah, I'll finish. Small question. What is the purpose of life? The whole Srimad Bhagavatam. Huh?
I was just wanted to ask it in public because it may be beneficial to him as it regards preaching.
Yeah.
Okay, well, just as far as book distribution goes, you know, as we hear, we need to speak as it is. Prabhupada also mentioned that we need to, according to distributing books, he wants to distribute as many books as possible.
Yeah, get the books out. Yeah, in distributing books, not necessary to try and convert everyone on the spot. Give them a book.
So it doesn't matter how we present it, because also you said if we're not preaching as it is, then also we forget or we become contaminated. So sometimes we just say, it's on meditation, yoga, just give a donation.
Yeah, you can say that. You can say that. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked how to distribute his books, he specifically said to quote this verse, Krishne swadhamo pagate dharma jnana dibisaha kalo nashta drishamesha purana ko dhunoditaha. Do you know that verse? And you should learn it. You're distributing the books, you should know. So, those who are more expert in distributing books, they do on the strength of the knowledge in the books. In England, it's very tough. Several times, devotees came from America when I was there, and even I left in 1977 for India. But even after that, devotees who are like great book distributors in America, and they come. We're going to show you how to do big books, because we never did big books, but they were never able to do it. It's to date, I did one summer with Adikata Prabhu, but we'd do like 20 books a day each, not that much. We'd do a lot more if we did smaller books. So, American people are more pious. Talking of Rancho Prabhu, you were asking about Rancho yesterday. He came back from America after the book marathon, because he's an artist also. He was painting the pictures. And he came back and he said to me, I remember, he said, everything in America is big. The cars are big, and the
egos are big.
The trucks are big, the roads are big, and the coffee is big, and the people talk loud. He said they're also much more pious than in England. He said almost everyone believes in God, which in England is not at all true. God is practically a forgotten word. That's a remembrance from 1976, something like that.
Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Thank you very much for tolerating me. All glories to Sri Sri Radha Giridhari and their servants. Hare Krishna.
We look forward to your next visit, Maharaj. We hope it's soon.
Thank you for being so kind to me, despite my manifest.
In my
manifest, what's the word? Inebrieties?
Inebrieties.
Yeah.
Maharaj, thank you for being so kind to us. Yeah.